Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. ProFarm Group Incorporated, a subsidiary of BioCirrus Crop Solutions, has announced the achievement of Total Resource Use and Efficiency Certification. Guided by Ingenium Group, LLC, and its Destination Zero team, ProFarm attained True Gold certification for the zero waste efforts of its Davis, California campus. True is a zero waste certification administered by Green Business Certification Incorporated. The certification evaluates how businesses perform in minimizing their non-hazardous solid waste and maximizing their resource efficiency. In achieving True Gold, ProFarm earned 54 points in a variety of categories, including redesign, reduce, reuse, composting, recycling, zero waste reporting, diversion, zero waste purchasing, leadership training, zero waste analysis, upstream management, hazardous waste prevention, closed loop systems, and innovation. Stephanie Barger, Director of Market Transformation at True, praised ProFarm's achievement, saying they honor ProFarm's zero waste leadership. Their facility is the first True certified project in the city of Davis and is the first True certified company in the biologically based agricultural products research and development sector. ProFarm partnered with Ingenium to determine its baseline waste diversion rate in 2021. Together, the Destination Zero and Davis sustainability teams began implementing critical changes to ProFarm's organizational processes and procurement to achieve zero waste. By prioritizing reduction and reuse initiatives, the Davis campus successfully eliminated more than 94,000 pounds of material that would have been wasted and directed an additional 49,800 pounds to recycling and organic outlets. Now more than 93.3% of all solid waste materials generated at the campus are diverted away from landfills and waste-to-energy incineration facilities. With major production states reporting in April, USDA revised its all-orange production for the country this month. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Another 1% decrease from the previous forecast for all U.S. orange production, per USDA's April crop production report. Most of the action within the report originated with Florida's orange crop. Mark Hudson of the National Agricultural Statistics Service says while non-Valencia orange production remained unchanged month over month in the Sunshine State,
our Valencia oranges went from 13 million boxes to 12 million boxes. It's down 8% overall. Our all oranges went from 19.8 in March to 18.8 here in April.
Other states reporting orange production for the season include
California, their non-Valencias and Valencias, their oranges are unchanged. Texas, for March, they went from 950,000 all oranges to 1.1 million of oranges.
In total, USDA now forecasts over 2.7 million oranges to be produced this season. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Butte County Farm Bureau Executive Director Colleen Cecil was one of six women who won the Common Threads North Award for Achievement in Agriculture. Committed to giving others in leadership, the California Agricultural Leadership Foundation, California Women in Agriculture, nine county farm bureaus, and University of California Davis College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences joined together to create the Common Threads North program in 2003, according to the Common Threads North website. Cecil and others were honored in a ceremony on April 3rd at the Doubletree Hotel in Chico. Cecil has worked for the Farm Bureau for 17 years. The rains seen this year in California have helped to increase the sizing of the remaining navel orange crop. There's a steady supply of navels on medium and large sizes, 88s and larger. As the regular navel varieties come to an end, the late navels will have larger sizes and fewer small ones, according to Chris Diaz of Fillmore Peru Citrus. The 113, 138 sizes will become more scarce and the demand will continue to increase on the small size navels, he says. Coming into May, suppliers will finish up their navel crop, and due to the thrip damage this season, there will be fewer fresh cartons packed and the crop is projected to end sooner than normal. This follows a slightly later start to the season as well due to sugar content being delayed. He says some suppliers will begin Valencias this month that will help with some of the small size demand. Fillmore Peru starts its Valencia harvest this month and should also begin packing gold nugget mandarins any time. He says there's also more and more mandarin trees being planted each season, along with more orange acreage being removed. Over the next 5 years, he says he believes we will see mandarin consumption exceed orange consumption. The production costs have increased each season, which is making navel oranges higher priced on the retail shelf as well. He says you're getting more for your money buying mandarins versus oranges. While most most of the supply is coming out of the Central California region right now. Kern and Tulare counties have a limited supply of oranges coming from Ventura and Riverside County, which has been great for our trees, but also has altered the harvest plans, causing delay in a fruit being picked, he says. Industry production is also coming from Mexico, which is producing Valencias, and Diaz says they are selling for approximately 20% less on average than California navels. Meanwhile, in California, overall pricing is 10 to 15% higher than last season. Due to the supply of larger sizes, the pricing has been lower over the last season on average, while pricing on smaller size oranges has been much higher over the last season, 40% higher on average for FPCA, he says. And looking ahead, expectations for the remainder of this month are good. He says that demand should continue on navels until the last carton is packed for each supplier. Diaz goes on to say that the weather is getting warmer, which should help the harvest with historically good movement in April and May. A lot of navels should be arriving on the shelves of these retail stores.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456. High-density crop growers in California have a new tool in the toolbox to perform mechanical weeding. Implementing automated camera technology, the Oliver Colibri Mechanical Weeder from Sutton Ag, which was a top 10 new product winner at the 2024 World Ag Expo, is the only implement currently available that is designed for mechanical weeding in high-density systems. Joseph Sutton, operations manager with Sutton Ag, explained why before the rise of ag tech, it was traditionally difficult to implement mechanical weeders into these systems.
High-density crops are crops with very tight spacing from seed line to seed line or from row to row. Some examples would be carrot, spring mix, spinach, cilantro, parsley, a very dense bed. And there's the spacing from row to row is going to be anywhere from 1.75 inches up to, let's say, 4 or 5 inches. And there's just no room to put a knife or whatever tool you're using to kill the weeds in that very tight spacing. So the Colibri is the first of its kind that's using camera technology and the sawtooth blades to be able to get into that very tight spaces to take out the weeds.
Utilizing automated camera technology, the Colibri identifies the exact position of the crop and precisely places sawtooth blades between the seed lines.
All the tooling on the Colibri is independent from the three-point hitch on a hydraulically shifting ram. And the cameras that are under the hood are identifying the exact position of the seed lines. And so they're not necessarily identifying each individual plant and weed, but it's finding the center of the seed line. So if you're planting spinach and you do 30 lines on an 80-inch bed, 2 inches apart, you tell the Colibri, that's my configuration. And it goes and finds exactly where your seed lines are and then automatically moves your tooling left to right. So you never, your sawtooth blades will never actually hit the crop and always just stay centered between your rows.
Crop spacings are input into the weeder before each run in the field, so it knows exactly where to look through the camera.
Go into a field of carrot that's just emerging. It's a very fragile crop and you're not trying to have any crop damage or anything like that. So you're setting exactly how deep you want your sawtooth blades to go into the soil and you're physically putting the blades how close you want them to the seed line. And you're telling the computer where the seed lines are, what the spacing is, and how fast you want the disc to turn, if you want the disc to be a little bent and be more aggressive. So you're fine-tuning each application to your specific soil conditions, crop type, crop development, and a very specific situation.
One of the more obvious improvements that is seen from this technology is a reduced need for manual labor. Sutton stressed it's not a silver bullet, however, to weeding in high-density applications.
It's not just a be-all implement that's going to solve all your problems. There's traditionally, you would only be able to weed in high-density applications with either, you know, some type of chemical control or in organic situations, just hand weeding is the only option. And so having a mechanical solution is a great tool, but the only other option that's being used right now is laser weeding, which is very effective, but very expensive and very slow. And so it's a combination of laser weeding, mechanical weed control, hand weeding, is what's going to make, growers successful. But we've found that hand labor is getting harder to find and more expensive. And so more growers are turning to, automated solutions or mechanical solutions for things that were traditionally hand labor.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom. Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Rabobank has published the latest World Vegetable Map charting recent global vegetable production, consumption, and trade. The value of the vegetable trade rose in line with rising prices, reaching 3% annual growth from 2017 to 2022. Production in the EU and U.S. saw declines over the same period. Consumption has held up relatively well despite higher costs for consumers and producers alike. The past 5 years have been everything but boring for the vegetable sector, according to Cindy Van Rijswijk, global strategist, fresh produce at Rabobank. The COVID-19 pandemic, extreme weather events, skyrocketing costs for growers, and challenging logistics are just some of the factors that have impacted the sector. Despite these challenges, global trade in both processed and fresh vegetables increased by an average of 3% per year from 2017 to 2022, though not in a linear pattern due to the COVID pandemic and subsequent inflation. At its height, global trade was valued at $107 billion in 2021, passing a $100 billion mark for the first and only time. Compared to trade, global vegetable production grew at a slower pace of 1.2% per year over the same period. Notably, the EU and the U.S. both experienced declines in production. An estimated 7% of vegetables produced globally are traded, mainly within continents and often between neighboring countries. Mexico, Spain, and the Netherlands have remained relevant exporters in a world of fresh vegetables, and countries such as Turkey and Poland are becoming bigger producers and exporters of both fresh and processed vegetables, she said. Poland in particular has evolved as both an importer and exporter, reflecting its growing significance as a central European trading hub. Meanwhile, in the processed vegetable market, China now exports more frozen vegetables than Belgium, the previous top exporter. John Boozman, the ranking Republican on a Senate Agriculture Committee, says it's important to get the farm bill right for farmers and ranchers. He says he isn't concerned over the farm bill not being listed as a priority by the Senate leader, Chuck Schumer.
Well, I'm not so worried about Senator Schumer not listing it. It's a lot of money. It's part farm and it's a lot nutrition. And this is a five-year program. And so to commit our farmers, not just 1 year, but a five-year contract, because we take this very seriously in Congress. Once we set this, then it is a contract with our farmers. We don't allow other entities like transportation to steal the money and this and that. Again, it is a contract. So we've got to get it right.
With so many economic changes since the last farm bill, Boozman says that risk management is key.
The farm bill, to me, the first thing you've got to get in order, in place, is making sure that the risk management tools are there so that our farmers can go to the bank, borrow the money that they need, and know that they're taking huge risk, but at least there is a bottom to that risk, and that's through crop insurance, ARC, PLC, programs like that.
That's one of the top issues that farmers bring up in listening sessions.
Certainly risk management, crop insurance, increasing reference prices, things like that are right at the top. But also trade. Trade is the lifeblood of agriculture. Last year, we had essentially the first time in 50 years, we had a trade imbalance in agriculture. That's always the bright star. So we need to do a much better job with trade. These countries are begging us. Nobody wants to put all their eggs in the China basket anymore. And so there's a lot of opportunities. But to be honest, the administration is simply not following through.
That's Senator John Boozman, the ranking Republican on the Senate Agriculture Committee. McKinsey & Company research reveals that a vast majority of American farmers have an understanding of sustainable farming. While 90% of farmers understand the practices, the uptake remains low. Even where farmers are adopting sustainable practices, they are only implementing them on a small share of their acreage, typically under 30%. The survey shows a positive outlook for the future of sustainable farming as farmers are willing to adopt the practices. Some major barriers to adoption remain, including obtaining a market premium for sustainably grown crops and implementation difficulties. Adoption of practices is correlated with perceived return on investment, such as applying fertilizer based on soil sampling have the highest adoption rates. Practices that require only behavioral changes, such as reduced or no-till, have the highest adoption levels at 68%. Despite the perceived benefits of sustainable practices, farmers expect costs to remain high. Recently announced, the latest in a series of offerings to assist rural residents and communities deal with farm stress and rural mental health challenges and stigmas. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain reports.
Efforts continue to expand in the realm of addressing mental health issues and eliminating mental health stigmas in rural America. Among those leading the way, a variety of agricultural and rural-oriented organizations, private businesses, and nonprofit groups. There was the recent announcement of
free access to counseling for farmers and ranchers and those in rural America.
Terry Moore is with the American Farm Bureau Federation, one of several partners within the Farm Family Wellness Alliance. Their new platform, found at www.farmfoundation.org/resources, provides anonymous online mental health and well-being services, and as important, points to local resources in rural communities. She acknowledges
one of the challenges in the mental health arena is that often we have national hotlines, but those counselors may not understand rural America. Life is very different in rural America, and so the psychology of helping someone in crisis in rural America is different. And that, too, is part of what we have been working to achieve.
Another partner in the Farm Family Wellness Alliance, the National Farmers Union. Rob LaRue of NFU says in addition to resources, partnership among farm groups can also provide encouragement to those seeking rural mental health resources.
Issues like this, making sure that we're reaching out to help our neighbors, that's the rural way, that's the farmer way, and that we're doing it around issues so important like farm stress and mental health, I think is a good sign and hopefully will continue to improve conditions out there.
The nonprofit organization Rural Minds recently joined forces with the National Grange to offer the Rural Mental Health Resilience Program. Found at www.ruralminds.org. Judy Lux of Rural Minds says it offers several free resources.
It's everything from friend or family member who might be struggling. How can you have that conversation with them, not be afraid to have that conversation with them, to ways that you can hold an event. Say, for example, a church or an organization in a community would like to raise awareness about mental health. There's a toolkit for how to hold an event and raise awareness within those communities. So it's very much a grassroots effort.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The U.S. Grains Council, Growth Energy, and the Renewable Fuels Association jointly submitted comments to the Brazilian Chamber of Foreign Trade regarding a Brazilian tariff on imported U.S. ethanol. In October 2023, Brazil's Association of Fuel Importers formally requested the government drop the ethanol duties because data showed the tariff raised fuel costs for Brazil's domestic consumers. In anticipation of the open comment period, the three organizations mobilized a number of industry stakeholders to seek a permanent removal of Brazil's tariff on imported U.S. ethanol. As of January 1, 2024, the current duty stands at 18%, while Brazilian ethanol imported into the U.S. enjoys free access to the American market. In their comments, the groups say they would like to stress that the U.S. industry will continue to advocate for restrictive measures to entry for Brazilian ethanol into the U.S. if the Brazilian government doesn't rethink the current tariff policies.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.